Tim, thank you for your kind words. And I want to thank the anniversary committee for the invitation to be here today, to have the opportunity to stand at this pulpit again and to preach to this great congregation. And I want to thank all of you for being here, and truly we pray for God's blessing to be upon this church, for its future is bright, and I hope that we can all continue to pray and support the ministry of this church in this community. I'd like for you to turn with me now to the letter to the Hebrews. Now, I'm going to be referring to this as being written by the Apostle Paul. He doesn't say that he wrote this letter. And scholars say perhaps it was Paul. Perhaps it was Barnabas. Other names have also been mentioned. But in the sermon today, I'll be referring to these words as being written by the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Listen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the last day of the Olympics in London, the final athletic event is the marathon. And one of the most moving moments in the history of the Olympics came on the day of the marathon in 1968. It was held in Mexico City. The runner from Tanzania had started the Olympic marathon with all the others hours before, but he finished it alone. When he finally arrived at the stadium, there were only a few spectators remaining in the stands. The winner of the marathon had crossed the finish line hours earlier. It was getting dark. The runner's right leg was bandaged and heavily bleeding. He was obviously in great pain, but he crossed the finish line, suffering from fatigue, leg cramps, and dehydration. A reporter asked him, "With all of this happening to you, why didn't you just quit?" And he replied, "My country did not send me here to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race." This passage in Hebrews 12 refers to running a race. And this is one of the great passages of the New Testament. And in it, Paul gives to us a summary of the Christian life. If you are a Christian, you're in a race. And the Christian life calls for the discipline of an athlete and the endurance of a marathon runner. And we learn in this passage of Scripture some guidelines on how we are to run this race. First of all, take a look at the grandstands. Paul writes, "We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Who are these witnesses? Well, in the grandstand of our lives, there are cheerleaders, champions like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Samson, David, other Old Testament heroes. Peter, Paul, Barnabas, and leaders of the New Testament church are there as well. And we might add, there are loved ones, family, and friends who have gone on to eternity. We are not alone in our faith journey. These cheerleaders ran the race before us, and they're now in the stands as cheerleaders, cheering us on. These witnesses are encouragers to us. Did you know that some of the greatest encouragement for living the Christian life is found in the Old Testament? It's found in the lives of the saints who have gone on before us. These people we read about in the Old Testament give us encouragement. For example, you may be thinking about dropping out of the race. It's too hard. You may be thinking about quitting altogether. Maybe you've lost your family, or your health, or your job. Well, Job stands up and he says, "I've been there. I know what it's like to lose everything. But God is faithful. Hang in there." And perhaps you're saying, "I'm thinking about quitting because life hasn't been fair to me. I've been treated unfairly in life." Well, Joseph stands up and he says, "I know what it's like to be treated unfairly. My brothers left me abandoned in a pit. I was thrown in prison for something I didn't even do. But I learned that God is good, even when life is not. Hang in there. Trust God." As New Sterling celebrates 225 years of witness to this community, I am reminded of those who have gone before us and the great influence they had on us. Many come to my mind, and I'm sure many will come to your mind as well, as we think about those who participated in the witness and ministry of this church who have gone on to be with God in glory. What would this church be like without the witness that they gave to this community? They taught us something about how to run the race. And of course, it goes both ways. What kind of influence are we leaving for those who come after us? I am reminded of the hymn, "Find Us Faithful." Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. One of the guidelines in this race is to get rid of sin. The Christian life is like a marathon. in the stands are filled with this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in this race. And we're ready to start the race. But wait, there's a chain tied to our leg. And at the end of that chain is a weight. That weight is our sin. How can we run with that chain and that weight slowing us down in our race? Every once in a while, our legs will get all tangled up in that chain. And this is the problem of sin. It keeps us from doing the good that we would like to accomplish. And God longs to help us get that chain off of our legs. He wants us to get rid of that sin that keeps us from doing and accomplishing what God would like for us to do. And so Paul writes in our scripture, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." We're not perfect people, and God forgives us of our sin when we confess our sin. The heroes of the Bible were not perfect people either, but God forgave them their sins. God did not give up on them any more than God will give up on us. He helped them overcome the sin that could have so easily destroyed them. Consider for a moment your own life. Is there some sin that is holding you back from being the kind of person that God created you to be? Do not underestimate the power of the devil. A mild flirtation can become a destructive relationship. An envious spirit begets slanderous gossip. A few missed Sundays turns into a month and then years away from the church, the community of faith. Is there anything in your life that is keeping you from running the race of Christian discipleship? We need to do what Paul challenges us to do in this verse of Scripture. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. If we're going to be champions in the race of life, we need to get rid of all impediments. Another guideline in this race is to run with perseverance. Paul writes, "And let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us." The key word in the phrase is perseverance. Many begin races that they never finish. It's always disheartening to a minister to see middle-aged people drop out of the church after the children are grown. Even more astounding is to see a person who has once been a dedicated church officer, for some reason or another, drop out of the church. We need perseverance. Sometimes the race gets hard. It gets hard for all of us. That's the way life is. But we need each other for encouragement and inspiration as we run the Christian race. Life is like a marathon. It's like a long-distance race that is run with character and perseverance. Jesus said, "He who endures to the end will be saved." You keep on taking stands based on conscience, even when the majority ridicules you. You keep on praying, even when the answers don't seem to come. You keep on witnessing, even when people seem disinterested. You keep on living by high standards, Even when your friends tell you that you're old-fashioned. You keep on returning good for evil when sometimes it seems like it doesn't do any good. You keep on praying for your enemies even though they couldn't care less. You keep on keeping on. You never give up. You run with perseverance. That's the challenge that Paul gives us. And the final guideline in this race is this: focus on Jesus. It's not how you start your race, it's how you finish it that counts. And the secret to winning the race is to focus on Jesus. And that's why Paul continues to write, inspired by God. These are God's words that Paul is writing, or whoever it is that wrote the letter to the Hebrews. The Lord says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The Christian life is like a marathon. And the most important thing in this race is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You must not only run your race with perseverance, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. We are to look to Jesus because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author of our faith. He is the one who puts us in the race to begin with. And he's also the perfecter of our faith. He will be waiting for us at the end of our race. And when we come to the finish line, when we come to the end of our race in this life, we will find Jesus. He is watching us and he is waiting for us. Have you ever thought about the fact that not every race allows the competitors to see the finish line? If you've ever watched sculling in the Olympics, you have seen those long, sleek, beautiful boats. The men, and there are women who do this too, I'll just refer to the men, but the men synchronize their rowing as they pull those long oars through, propelling the boat in the race. But now you think about it. Those men have their backs to the finish line. They can't see the finish line. How do they pace themselves? How do they know when they have finished? Well, the answer is they focus on the guy with the megaphone sitting at the end of the boat facing the crew. He is the only one who knows where the finish line is. And so the men at the oars look to him. They listen to him. They obey his commands. They count on him to coach them to the finish. They trust him completely and totally to get them across to the finish line in the strongest way possible. We don't know where our finish is going to be, when it's going to happen. But we don't need to worry about the finish line as long as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. You see, the way Christians win the race is not by focusing on the end of the race, when our end of life is going to be, because we don't know when the finish line is going to be. We don't know when the race of our lives is going to end. But the way you run the race and the way you win the race is by focusing on Jesus. Salvation is not a reward you get at the end of the race. Salvation is the gift of God's grace that puts you into the race. And I encourage you today, if you're not in the race, that you give your life to Jesus Christ and join this race, this marathon that all Christians are in. And if you're in the race, run it to the glory of God, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, and with His help, we can win the crown of victory.